produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, we've worked ourselves down to Deuteronomy. So now, Deuteronomy is broken up into four parts, as we went over last session. I won't go over all that, but we will deal with today. Deuteronomy deals with, number one, is the first address of Moses. Address meaning speech, or him addressing the children of Israel. And as Moses reviews Israel's journey from Sinai to the plains of Moab. Now, it is exactly what it says, okay? Chapter 1 through 4 is a review of Israel's journey from Sinai to the plains of Moab. Moses is given his first address. Now, chapter 5 starts his second address, and that is Moses reviews and expands the law for the new generation, okay? The third part is the third address of Moses. Moses reviews Israel's covenant relationship with God. That starts chapter 27. And starting at chapter 31 is the final ministry or final days of Moses. So get that in your head. Get that in your thinking. Deuteronomy has four parts. The first, you got three addresses or speeches. Okay. Then you have the last days of Moses. The last days of his ministry. It's just that simple. You got three addresses or speeches to the children of Israel. Then you have, it closes out with the final days or the final ministry of Moses. Okay. So we're going to cover chapter 1 through 4 today. And it is exactly what it says. It's a review. So what I want you to get in your mind, in the forefront of your brain right now, is you have heard every single thing that I'm about to say. Okay. If you have walked with me during these Bible studies, everything that Moses is about to say to the people is a review. He has said it already. So if you see me not harping on every little fact and figure, it's because we have taught it extensively in the previous sessions, okay? So remember that. But what I want you to pay attention to is how Moses is speaking to the people, because he's speaking to them in a new way, I like to say. He's speaking the same thing to the people, but in a different spirit, should I say. Think about this. If you were speaking to your family during Memorial Day celebration, you may be speaking to them in one light. But if 6 months later you are on your deathbed and you are speaking to them, or should I say, let me change that. Or if 6 months later, the doctor told you that your days are limited on this earth, then you will speak to your family in a different way. Am I making sense? You will speak to them in more detail, with more passion, with more instruction, and it will come across in your tone, okay? So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Okay. Let's look at chapter one. And what I've done in your notes is I have copied the chapter exactly so we can put it on the screen, and I highlighted the parts that we're going to pull out. Is no long drawn out notes on this session. It is a review. So we're just going to get your Bibles open, chapter one, and we're going to walk straight down the page. Okay. Chapter one starts with the previous command to enter Canaan. This is a review. The previous command to enter Canaan. Now, remember, get your study Bible. Your study Bible has headings in it. Okay. All right. Now, here we go. Look at chapter one. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness. Okay. Then it says, verse three, now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month. Remember, we went over that, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. After he had killed the king of the Amorites and the king of Bashan. Okay. Remember that. And look at verse eight. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them their descendants after them. Okay. I have set the land before you. What land are we talking about? The promised land. We're talking about the land of Canaan. We're talking about the land flowing with milk and honey. We're talking about the Abrahamic covenant. We're talking about God's people being grown into a great people. Come on on, my sister. Come on on. So the Abrahamic covenant, then we will, then remember the promise of God. The promise was, and the plan of God, should I say, the plan is he has to grow his nation. And in order to have his nation, he needs people, law, and land. All those, the two was established, the promised land, when they inherit or possess the promised land, that's when they will officially be the great nation called unto God. Okay. So verse nine, it says, your subheading says tribal leaders appointed, tribal leaders appointed. It says, and I spoke to you at that time. This is Moses. Now listen to his tone now. I spoke to you at that time. I alone am not able to bear. I can't bear all of you, because remember, at that time they had grown to over 2.5 million. The Lord your God has multiplied you. That's the Abrahamic covenant. And here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. Remember, he says, did you want your people will not be able to be numbered like the stars in the sky and the grains of sand. So this is what he's saying. They will multiply. And remember, he says, I cannot handle all of the judging myself. You remember that part? So then, verse 13, this is a review. Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. So you see how he's talking to him? Like, now he could have said, my father-in-law, he could have just detailed out, my father-in-law brought up to me that it was too much for me to bear to judge over the entire nation. I needed help. He's not talking like that. He's saying, remember, you said this, you asked me this, I did it, you answered me, you said it was good. You see how he's talking to them? It's a totally different spirit. Verse 16, then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger who is with him. Skip down, 17. For the judgment is God's, not mine's, is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me and I will hear it. You remember that part? He established leaders so that everything that was in dispute could be handled within themselves, within the tribes. If it was too hard for them, then they brought it to him. Remember that? Okay, let's keep moving. Now we're dealing with the refusal at verse 19, Israel's refusal to enter the land. And all Moses is doing is bringing to remembrance of the people everything that has happened. Because remember, some of these people, a lot of them, have heard this vaguely before, but they were not living at the time. Remember that. Okay? Remember that. So look at 19. He's furthering on with the history. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord your God has commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. You remember we went over all that. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord Yahweh, the Most High God, our God, is giving us. Now look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God of your fathers, has spoken to you. And I told you then, do not fear or be discouraged. Verse 22. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities until which we shall come. So, verse 23. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, 24. And they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Ishkol, and they spied it out. You remember the 12 spies? That's what he's saying. Okay. Now remember, they necessarily was not supposed to send those spies out, but they did it. Okay. Now look at 26. I even underlined this in your notes. So very important. 26. He said, nevertheless, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. This is what you said. Despite what God has done for you, this is what you said. 28. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, the spies. They have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller than we. They're giants. The cities are great. They're fortified up to heaven. Fortified walls is what they're saying. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak there. You remember we went over that. That's what they call the giants. Okay? So, verse 29, listen to Moses. Then I said to you, see, you see how he's talking to him? Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. Verse 32, yet for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. He guided you, and you still not trusting him. Listen to how Moses, I can't say this enough, listen to the tone of his voice, or how he's talking to these people, okay? Verse 34 starts the penalty for Israel's rebellion, the penalty, okay? 34. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath. The Lord spoke an oath to himself and to the people, saying, verse 35, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers. Can I say it again? The Lord heard the words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb and who? Joshua. 36, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, keep mispronouncing that. He shall see it, and to him and his children, I am given the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. 37, the Lord was also angry. Listen to this. 37, this is Moses speaking. The Lord was also angry with me for your sakes, saying, even you, Moses, shall not go in there. Wow. Listen to how he's saying. All that you did, now I'm telling you, I messed up. God was even angry at me. I messed up. And he says, even you shall not go in there. My God, you shall not cross over into the promised land. Verse 38, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So Joshua shall go, but Moses, you shall not. So he's telling them that entire generation of disobedience was wiped out in the wilderness before now. He's speaking to them in retrospect now. He's telling them the history, because this is the new generation. You got to get that in your spirit. This is the new generation. So he's telling them all of their history before God calls him home. Okay? That's what he's doing. He's reestablishing all of the history so that there's no ambiguity in what he's saying. Okay? Now, 39, he was still speaking to them about that time. Okay? Keep it in that concept. He's still speaking to them about what happened. Remember, Deuteronomy does not progress time. Certain books progress in time. The time of the Israelites, their history, Deuteronomy does not progress that. You're in the same time period as Numbers. Deuteronomy complements Numbers. It does not further the timeline. Make sure you get that in your spirit, or you're going to confuse yourself. Nothing is progressing. They are not crossing over yet. Okay? He's dealing with their history before they go. Are we together? Okay, look at 39. He's still talking to them in the same vein now. I kind of had to clarify some things, but he's still in the same vein. Okay, he said that evil generation will be wiped out. Okay, I can't go over. Joshua is going over instead of me. 39, moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims. Now, not who he's talking to, who he was talking to at the time, back then. Okay. They said, we can't go into the promised land because we will be consumed and our children will be victims. Remember that? That's what he's talking about. So keep in your brain that he's talking in retrospect. He's talking in history. He's telling someone presently about what happened in the past and how he spoke to the same people, meaning same nation of people, how he spoke to them then, but it was a different generation. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting it? Okay. So moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims, I'm in 39, verse 39, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them, I will give it. Okay. I will give them the land and they shall possess it. Verse 40. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So what he's doing? So he is giving the history to this new generation about when they were babies, what he spoke to their fathers and grandfathers or whoever it was in an older generation. He said, you don't remember this, but this is what I spoke to your fathers and grandfathers. You would have perished as well, but you didn't know any better. So God spared you, his grace and his mercy. Amen. Okay. Are we together? Okay. So verse 41, then you answered, not the people he's talking to, but the people he was talking to. Okay. Then you answered, oh, no, wait, we will go up and fight. We've changed our mind, just as the Lord has commanded us. But the Lord had already spoke the oath, people. God is no short of his word. He spoke it. That's it. It was done. He spoke it into existence. That was it. They said, oh, we've changed our mind. We will go up and fight. Let just as the Lord had, our God has commanded us. 41, 42. And the Lord said to me, tell them. Now you see, it's talking in past tense. And the Lord said to me, okay, past tense, tell them, do not go up or do not go up and fight, for I am not among you in this battle, lest you be defeated before your enemies. Look at 43. You would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord again and presumptuously went up into the mountain. Verse 44. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. Oh, my God. And drove you back from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord, you, oh, my God, listen to this. But the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. Why? Because they were already walking dead. Amen, somebody. They were already the walking dead. They were already going to perish because God had already spoke over their disobedience. And this is his chosen people. Okay. So now we're at chapter 2. Let's keep it moving because we got to go through chapter 4. It is just a review, but I want you to get the tone of how Moses is speaking to them. He's setting up everything that he's going to say about the blessings and the cursings, okay? Deuteronomy is where we find the blessings and the cursings is what you see on this earth today. Amen, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Let's go. Chapter 2. Now it's the desert years. Chapter 2. Moses is still talking, okay? Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many years. Verse 2, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau. They will be afraid of you, therefore watch yourselves carefully. This is what he told the previous generation. Verse 5, do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep. That's not the promised land, okay? That's the land that was given to the descendants of Esau, not your land, okay? As much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. Verse 6, you shall buy food. You shall also buy water from them with money that you may eat and drink. Verse 7, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. So God is providing for them, okay? Providing for them. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Now, were they perishing? Were they suffering the curse? Yes, they were. But God was providing for the generation that was coming up after them. Think of the babies, okay, is what they're speaking of. The babies that had nothing to do with the disobedience, God was providing for them those 40 years, okay? That's what he's saying. He's providing for them, okay? Verse 8, and when we passed beyond our brethren, talking about Esau's clan, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Verse 9, do not harass Moab nor contend with them in battle in any way, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar, to the descendants of Lot as a possession. Okay? So go down to, now give specifics from 10 to 10, 11, and 12. You can look at that. But look at verse 13. Now it says, now rise and cross over the valley. Okay? The valley of Jared. So we cross over the valley. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley was 38 years, until all the generation of men of war, the ones that was disobedient, was consumed from the midst of the camp. All of them had died, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Obey me, because I have provided for you and provide for you daily, and I have delivered you. Disobedience was met with swift judgment. Okay? Swift judgment. Now, you're saying, why did God have to do all this? He wanted his nation holy and set apart. They could not be disobedient. The Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, had to come from this nation, people, to wipe away the sins or take atonement for the world. So they had to be holy and set apart. God was not playing with the obedience of his people. Okay? Connect the dots. I always tell you, connect the dots. There's a reason for everything in the Bible. You just have to understand it. Look at 24. He said, rise, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon and the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Okay? This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. The new generation is begin to conquer the other nations. Other nations will fear them. And we read all that. We've already studied all this, okay? Now, look at 26. Your subheading is King Sihon defeated. You remember we went over that. 26, and I sent messengers from the wilderness to Sihon, king of Heshbon, the words of peace, saying, you remember he said, let us pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road. I will not turn neither to the left or the right. We will not bother your land. Just let us pass through until I cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord, our God, has given us. You remember that? Verse 30. But what happened? But Sihon, the king, would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart absent. See, listen to this. Listen, this is all history. Okay? All history. That he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. They're just conquering. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun, verse 31, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit this land. People, keep your Bibles open. I'm walking straight down the scripture. I'm just reading straight down from the scripture. Keep your Bibles open. Then Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, so we defeated him. They're conquering. The new generation is conquering lands. Okay? Look all the way down to verse 36. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. All to us. The previous verses talk about what they plundered and how they kept the livestock. We've already went over all of that. You guys already studied that extensively, okay? They're conquering lands. They're becoming richer and richer. They're plundering. They're taking on the cattle that they're capturing from the people that they are conquering. They're becoming more wealthy and more wealthy, okay? More wealthy and more wealthy, okay? So now that gives us more to the review of now we're at chapter three. And it's just an extension of chapter two because now it just talks about King Og, O-G. Let me say it like that, but O-G, that's how it's spelled, Og, if that's how it's pronounced, okay? And it just talks about what we've already studied. Chapter three. Then we turned and went up to the road to Bashan. What is he doing? He's just talking to the new generation about all the history and how they got to this point. Why? Because he does not want this generation to make the same mistakes that their fathers and grandfathers and their mothers and grandmothers made. And their aunts and uncles and great aunts and great, all those people. Okay. He's trying to make sure they don't commit the same mistake twice. Okay. That's what he's doing. And verse two, and the Lord said to me, do not fear him. Talking about King God. For I have delivered him and all his people and his land until your hand. They're becoming richer and richer. You shall do to him as you did the king of Amorites who dwelt in Heshbon. You remember that? Verse 3. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands our king of Bashan with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities, all the region. You listen to this. He's speaking to them historically so that they know their importance in God's eyesight. So they know how special they are to God, how protected they are, everything God did for them, how he kept them and provided for them and delivered them and protected them. He wanted all of this fresh in their memory before they cross over into the promised land. Okay? The new generation. Now, let's go all the way down to verse 12. Another subheading says, the land east of Jordan divided. You remember we said tonight, it's not crossing over. This is the land east of the Jordan divided. And this land, which we possessed at that time, which is by the river Arnon and half the mountains of Gilead and its cities, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites. Now you remember that, right? You remember when they said the land that we see here, we want to possess this land. We don't want a crossover. Okay. Remember that? Well, that's all he's quoting back to them. Verse 13, the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the king of Og, I gave, past tense, I gave or allotted. I told them they could have it ahead of time is what he's saying. I gave to half the tribe of Manasseh, okay? 15, verse 15, also I gave Gilead to Machir, okay? Verse 16, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites, I gave from Gilead as far as the river Arnon. You see, he's just telling them specifics. Verse 18, then I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel. Okay, your brethren, the children of Israel, you men of valor, go with your brethren. So he's saying, really in my mind sarcastically, but let me not put my own thoughts into it. He's saying, you men of valor, and remember we studied this. He's talking to them saying, you don't want to go fight. So you don't want to cross over and conquer the Canaanites and all the other ites is in Canaan. So you want to stay on this side. But when you got called out, remember we studied this, when you got called out for it, now you're saying we will go fight with our brothers and come back. Remember that, okay? So all you men of valor, sarcastically, shall cross over armed before your brethren, the rest of the tribe, the children of Israel, but your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, it says, you shall stay, now listen to that, I know you have much livestock, because the excuse, remember, that they gave was that they had great livestock that land was great for grazing. And so they didn't want to cross over to the promised land. Remember that? So parenthetically, listen to how this sounds, verse 19. But your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall stay in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord has given rest to your brethren as to you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them beyond the Jordan. You shall go fight with them until they possess the land. Then each of you then may return to his possession, which I have given you. You can come back then to your wives and children after you fight with your brethren, the fellow tribes. Verse 21, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord Yahweh, the Most High God, your God, has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. He's speaking to Joshua now, because Joshua is going to be the leader when they're conquering all these people. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. Have confidence, mighty man of valor. Have confidence. I will fight for you. 22, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Oh, my God. He is my banner. My victory banner. So verse 23 starts a section that says Moses forbidden to enter the land. Now he's talking about himself now, right? Okay, 23. Then I, Moses, pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land before the Jordan, those pleasant mountains of Lebanon. Okay? B-U-T, but. And I was told that but cancels out everything before it. Verse 26, but the Lord was angry with me on your account. I was mad at you. So the Lord was angry at my actions because I was mad at you and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Oh, my God. Now, did you get this dialogue in Numbers? No, you didn't get this specific dialogue. This is Moses speaking from the heart. Do you hear the passion coming out of this? He says, I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains of Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Oh, my God. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east, and look at it. Or behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. Why? Because the Lord had commanded it already, and he's not going against his word, punishing Moses' disobedience, no matter what Moses had accomplished before then. Amen? Verse 28, but commanded Joshua and encouraged him. Well, command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Build up your successor, is what he's saying. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see and not possess. Do you hear the heart of the man coming out? The passion of the man coming out? He know he did wrong, and he know that he's being punished, and he know that his days are numbered. You didn't get that dialogue in Numbers, but you're getting it in Deuteronomy because he's speaking out of the heart, out of his last addresses to the people. Do you get it? Verse 29, so we stayed in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. Now, you have chapter 4, and we're moving right along. We got 15 minutes. Chapter 4. But guys, you got to get this. The difference, when a lot of you had questions like, well, what's the importance of Deuteronomy if it just complements Numbers? Well, no, you're going to get some additions, and you're going to get more details, and you're going to get those things spoken out of a different spirit, and you're going to talk about the blessings and the cursings, and we're going to really, really get to some things to make you understand what you are seeing today. Stick with me. Stick with God. Stick with his word, okay? Moses commands obedience. Excuse me. Let me get some water. Y'all think it's, you guys think it's easy to talk for a straight hour, huh? Moses commands obedience. He commands obedience. Chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live, comma, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you, period. Observe that you may live and go in and possess the land. Verse 2, you shall not add a word which I command you. Oh my God. See, this is why when we're doing this Bible study, I try to stick strictly to the script, strictly to the word, and I try to keep my personal impressions out of it. It just deals with the word and the word alone. The word and the word alone. Okay? So, listen to what it says. You shall not add, chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take anything away from it. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal or Baal. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Do you see what he's doing? Can you hear the passion of his heart, people? He's begging them. He's pleading with them. Be obedient. Follow the commandments which we have given you over and over and over again. Don't fall victim to what your fathers and grandfathers did. Okay? Verse 7. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord, our God, is so near to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him, he answers us. Guys, you can say the same thing today. God answers your prayers. We are the inheritance of God. Verse 8, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? So what is he telling them? He's saying, don't think about the burden of the law. Think about how special you are as a people, that God has given you such great statutes and righteous judgments before you to set before you this day. Oh my God, did you get that? Did you get that? Don't think about the burden of trying to live holy. Think about, you're so special that God has called you to live holy. That he knows you by your name. That he calls you his own. That you are engrafted in through Christ as a child of God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Verse 9, before I get excited. Verse 9. Only, verse 9, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord God in Horeb. Teach the generation, generation after generation, how to live holy before God. That's what he's telling them. Teach them the commands and teach them the statutes. Teach them the laws. So they shall not fail. All the other nations' people were pagan worshiping nations, were demonic nations. Only the 12 tribes, only the children of Israel and their close descendants, some they had pockets here and there, we know that. They were the only ones that held true to following the one true God. Everyone else was devil worshipers. You see that just today. Everything you see on TV and on music and on movies and all this stuff that you, all this demonic stuff that you see, you are supposed to be the minority. Well, why? Let me clean that up a little bit. Why? Because we're supposed to go ye therefore and spread the gospel throughout all the nations. And we have not done that. The Great Commission. Okay? So the things that you see now is what they were looking at then, people. Okay? Is what they were looking at then. All these other nations were demonic. And when you see all the things that you see that are demonic, all the things that you see, why? It's because we are the chosen. We are called by God unto himself. And it is our job to spread this gospel throughout the nations. Okay? Verse 11. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven with darkness, a cloud and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. 13. So he declared to you his covenant, his divine promise or agreement, which he commanded to you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stones. This is a review. This is his first address, chapter 1-4. This is chapter 4. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. You get that? He's teaching them the things that they know, the things they don't know, the things that they were there for, the things they were not there for. Okay? Verse 15, beware of adultery, idolatry, idolatry. Verse 15, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when you spoke. I mean, not you spoke. You saw no form when the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. So you know it was divine. A voice came out of the fire. Lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Listen to this. The likeness of any animal, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish. Verse 19, and take heed lest you lift up your eyes to heaven when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them. What you saying, preacher? What you saying, teacher? He's saying you were shown no form. You only heard the divine voice. So there's nothing for you to carve an image out of. You have nothing. Like if you want to paint a picture, my son is a great artist. He can paint a picture. I can show him a picture, tell him to paint it, duplicate it, draw that. They had nothing to go on. It was not the image of a man or an animal or anything. So they could not make an image of anything. That's what this is exactly what these scriptures are about. So he says, don't defile my name by carving or making or forming some type of idolatry, some type of image, because you've never seen my image. You get it? You see how important that is? There's a purpose for everything. There's a reason for everything. God didn't show them his image, so they have nothing to go by. So listen to my voice. Heed my voice. Don't build some type of image saying you worshiping a God. My God, my God. Did y'all catch that when you was reading that? Verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance as you are this day. So let me go over verse 19 again. Because don't make these images, because you don't have an image of me. Don't make an image, lest you lift your eyes to heaven when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you feel driven to worship these images and serve them. That's what he was saying in verse 19. Okay? So, hear, hearken unto my voice. Okay? Verse 21. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan. He's just telling them again. But listen to what he says. Verse 22. But I must die in this land, the land before the Jordan. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. He's talking about you, the new generation. That's why he's telling all of this to the new generation. Verse 23, take heed to yourselves. I underlined this for you. Lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Take heed and make for yourselves a carved image and carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden. Verse 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, awesome presence, fill this room. This is holy ground, as the song says. One of my favorite songs, okay? He's a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. He will consume you if you break this covenant. That's what he's telling them. Verse 25 and 26, I underlined that for you. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. What is he saying? When you grow old in this land and you act corruptly and you make a carved image of anything, yes, you will be in the land, but your days will not be prolonged in that land and you will be destroyed. And I call a witness, heaven and earth, this day that I told you to your face, or it didn't say to your face, but I told you to not do it. Okay. So he's telling them with strong words, do not be disobedient, or that's going to happen. Verse 27, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples if they're disobedient, and you will be left few in number among the nations. Hello, somebody. This is a clue we're going to get into. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, little g, and work of men's hands, wood and stones, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him from there, if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Verse 30, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, parenthetically. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. Hello, somebody. Verse 32. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like this has ever been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live to tell about it? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials and signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you this was shown. Do you hear how Moses is talking to them? Can any other nation say God has done this? Can any other people say they're this special? Verse 35, but to you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord himself is God, and there is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. 37, and because he loved your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of Egypt with his presence and with mighty power. 38, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. This is why you're standing here about to go into the promised land. This is what he has done. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is none other. Verse 40, you shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. My God, we can stop right there if we wanted to. Listen to how he's talking to the people. Listen, people, how he's pleading with them and pouring his heart out to him. Now, I really want to stop right there, but just for the sake of finishing the chapter, your last section says cities of refuge east of the Jordan. You remember we went over that. And then it says instruction to God's law. You already know these, where it says introduction to God's law. Verse 41 says, then Moses set apart three cities. After he finished the first address, he set apart three cities on this side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer, okay, might flee there who kills his neighbor unintentionally. You remember we went over all of that. It was like a holding cell or a holding place until they were brought to trial, okay, and found guilty or innocent. Verse 44 to the end of the chapter talks about the introduction to God's law. It says, now this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. Okay? And that rounds out chapter 4. Okay? Are you excited as much as I'm excited? So that's 1 through 4, and we finished on time. Chapter 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy. I hope you got a new understanding. Even though you knew all of that, we have studied it intensively over the last sessions, but Moses is speaking from a different heart, people. And I hope you were able, my goal for this lesson was to make sure that my voice reflection catered to the heart of Moses. Yes, that's how I wanted to put it. My voice reflection catered to the heart of Moses, how he tried to convey to the people his heart. Moses knew he was about to perish. So he's speaking to them a different way. Okay? He's speaking to them a different way. You can almost make a stretch and say his last will and testament. Okay? Or the Old Testament. His last will and testament, pretty much what he was doing. Okay? So continue to read. We will start chapter 5, which is Moses' second address. Okay, Moses' second address, and that starts chapter 5, is Moses reviews and expands the law for the new generation. Reviews and expands the law for the new generation, the second address of Moses. Amen? Amen. As I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you to all that have come on by audio, by the Zoom line, by video with the Zoom line, by conference call with my phone line. All those that are watching by YouTube at a later date. I pray that you watch the other sessions. I pray that you take a second and hit that subscribe button. We don't have enough people subscribing to the channel. YouTube will push the algorithm to push out this channel or this word to more people with the more people that are subscribed to it. So the more people you guys talk to and get to subscribe to this channel, the more that YouTube will push it out to more people. Okay, so do your part to spread the gospel of Yeshua, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, that concludes session 43.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.